Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wise, the app that makes managing your money in different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money internationally at the mid-market exchange rate. No guesswork and no hidden fees. Learn more about how Wise could work for you at wise.com.
Today on State of the World, now that Iran has attacked Israel, what happens next? Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Monday, April 15th. I'm Greg Dixon. In a few minutes, reaction in Jordan to the role that country played in protecting Israel. First, all eyes are on Israel to see how it will respond to Iran's attack in which more than 300 drones and missiles were launched at Israel. Iran says this was in retaliation for a strike on their embassy in Syria, which was widely believed to have been the work of the Israeli military. The U.S. and other countries are pressuring Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to be measured in Israel's response. But members of Netanyahu's political coalition are urging a strong reaction. So, what now? NPR's Carrie Kahn is in Tel Aviv, and she spoke to Mary Louise Kelly.
So it feels like everyone here in the States is on edge, waiting to see what Israel may or may not do. I can't imagine what it's like there. What do we actually know?
The War Cabinet has met again today, and they are weighing their options. We've heard a lot from conservative and far-right lawmakers calling for a swift and decisive response directly on Iran. One very outspoken far-right member of the cabinet tweeted that, quote, "If we wait, we will put ourselves and our children in immediate existential danger." Today, David Mentzer, he's a spokesman for Benjamin Netanyahu, told reporters that all options are being explored.
"We are prepared for every scenario, both defensive and offensive. And the Prime Minister has said that we will harm anyone who acts against us or plans an attack against us."
President Biden has told Netanyahu that the U.S. will only help Israel defensively and not offensively, and has urged caution and calm as not to escalate the confrontation further and risk a wider regional war. However, a U.S. defense official has told NPR there is a potential that Israel would launch a strike on Iran this week.
This week. And would there be domestic support for that? I mean, how is this playing among Israelis?
That is a big calculus in Israel's decision-making, and especially for this government, which was already unpopular before the war with Hamas, and even more so now. Protests are picking up again to oust Netanyahu. They don't like the way he's handled this war, especially that the about 100 hostages being held in Gaza are still there, and they blame him for the military failure that allowed for the Hamas attack on October 7th in the first place, and that killed about 1,200 people here. I was talking with Israelis today and asking, you know, what they thought should be done. Here is retiree Yossi Maman, who said he was terrified on Saturday night during the Iran strike and, of course, doesn't want a wider war, but wants Iran to know Israel means business.
"This is the time to be clever and not to rush, to work together and to do things correct. But this cannot be not answered. Cannot be."
He's saying Israel must respond to Iran.
I mean, it feels we should point out Israel already has its hands more than full. Israel is actively fighting with Hezbollah in the north. And of course, the war, as you mentioned, it continues in Gaza. What is the latest there?
Israel's under a lot of U.S. pressure now to do more to rectify the grave humanitarian crisis after 6 months of Israel's punishing campaign there. The Biden administration laid out very specific milestones it wants to see Israel to do to ease the human suffering in Gaza if the U.S. is to continue backing the war there. Israel says it's making good on those commitments, including opening a northern border crossing to get aid in faster to areas of Gaza where famine conditions are already underway, according to U.S. officials. Israel says the number of trucks getting into Gaza in general is much higher. They also point to a new bakery opening in northern Gaza with increased deliveries of flour and food there. NPR's producer in Gaza City has been out reporting and says some prices are coming down and he's seeing more fruits and vegetables in the markets. But aid agencies say the increases need to be sustained given the devastating and dire situation in Gaza. More than 33,000 Palestinians have been killed there and more than 76,000 are injured. That's according to the Gaza Health Ministry. And very important, too, is the need to ensure the safety of those working to deliver the aid. They say the situation remains dangerous and communication and coordination gaps remain, too, with Israel's military.
That's NPR's Carrie Kahn in Tel Aviv. Of those more than 300 weaponized drones and missiles that Iran launched at Israel, 99% were intercepted, according to Israeli officials. This was done with the help of the U.S., the U.K., France, and perhaps surprisingly, the Arab country of Jordan. NPR's Jane Arraf is in Amman, Jordan, and she spoke to Elsa Chang about Jordan's role.
So the thing is, Jordan has been one of the biggest critics of Israel's war in Gaza, right? Which I suppose isn't surprising because I understand something like 60% of Jordan's population is of Palestinian origin. So why did the country help intercept Iranian missiles?
Well, you're right. It was a potentially risky move as Iran specifically threatened Jordan, saying that if it acted against Iran, the country would be next on its target list. But we have to remember that Jordan is also a major security ally and one of only two Arab countries to have a peace deal with Israel, its neighbor. And those two countries, Israel and the U.S., are much more powerful than Jordan, and it needs their protection more than it needs to curry favor with Iran.
Right. Well, meanwhile, other countries have been congratulating themselves for intercepting the Iranian attack. But we haven't heard a lot from Jordan. Is that deliberate, you think?
It does seem to be. Israel also didn't publicly mention Jordan's help. Jordan did eventually say its military had intercepted some of the attacks and made clear it was in self-defense. This is Prime Minister Bishar Kassouni after an emergency cabinet meeting Sunday.
Yesterday, we dealt with some flying objects that entered our airspace and were endangering the safety of our citizens and populated residential areas.
The implication being that Jordan acted to protect its own citizens rather than Israelis. Shots of downed missile parts have shown up on social media, including one floating in the Dead Sea.
Well, you have reported on some pretty significant anti-Israel protests in Jordan. I'm just curious, how has Jordan's interception of these Iranian missiles gone down with Jordanians?
There's been quite a bit of public criticism. As you mentioned, the majority of Jordanians are of Palestinian origin, and many other Jordanians also deeply identify with Palestinians in Gaza. Night after night, they watch images of children being killed there by Israeli airstrikes, and there's a lot of anger here, so much so that Jordanian security forces have stepped up arrests of protesters, and at some demonstrations, they've even banned the Palestinian flag. But the thing to remember is that for most Jordanians, the most important thing is that Jordan remains stable. It's a poor country surrounded by turmoil. Its neighbors include Syria, Iraq, the West Bank, and Israel. So under King Abdullah, it's managed to remain stable in a hostile region. And for many Jordanians, by far the most important thing is to keep it that way.
Well, given that so many Jordanians care about what's happening in Gaza, what is Jordan doing to help Palestinians there?
Well, they've been sending aid by road and dropping it from the air, and Jordanian leaders have been very vocal about the death and destruction in Gaza. There are essentially no diplomatic relations with Israel at the moment. Protesters, though, at nightly demonstrations are demanding that Jordan go further and cancel its peace treaty. But to do that would leave the kingdom isolated and even more impoverished. It's a big recipient of U.S. financial aid, and that isn't something being contemplated. Jordan, though, has been saying for many years that this region will remain unstable as long as there are millions of displaced Palestinians without a state.
That's NPR's Jane Arraf in Amman, Jordan. That's the State of the World from NPR. Thanks for listening.
Why is everyone so obsessed with traditional wives or trad wives on social media? This week, we're talking about the viral videos of women making marshmallows and mozzarella from scratch, and how behind the sheen of calm kitchens and cute fits, there's some interesting pessimism about our modern world. And that's worth digging into. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Stearns & Foster. Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted for irresistible comfort, with indulgent memory foam and ultra-conforming IntelliCoils for your most comfortable sleep. Learn more at stearnsandfoster.com.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up. Yeah, you. If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.